Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll read the text from the New American Standard Version. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, this text once again has bookends. Verse 1 speaks about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In a little bit different language, of course. Listen again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The true spirit of testimony comes from God. The false spirit of testimony comes from the world and animates false prophets. And so we have the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The end of verse 6 also speaks of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Part of what we're interested in this text is discerning the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. But all of this points toward the center of the text. And verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Here once again we have the note of assurance. How do we know that we are from God? And how do we discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? The text brings us to an understanding of our own position before God by laying out before us the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, here's the main lesson of the text. If you confess that Jesus is the Christ, who came in the flesh, and you are received by other believers, but rejected by the world, then you know that you are born of God. Here is the discernment that is necessary. Now let's see how this lesson arises from the text. Again, beginning with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John is interested in our being able to distinguish between spirits. Now, how do we distinguish between spirits? Well, John is not simply speaking about free-floating spirits, disembodied spirits, but he's speaking about spirits which animate individuals like you and me. And therefore, he speaks about false prophets who have gone out into the world. The spirit of error animates the false prophet. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The whole idea of being from God, which is repeated later in the text, is being born of God, of receiving the Spirit of God, of being transformed by the Spirit of God and receiving a new heart. John is speaking, again, about being children of God, but in this context, he's speaking about our being born of God, that is, being born again. Now, how do we know that we're born again? What's the distinguishing mark of being born of God? Verse 2 again, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You know the Spirit of God by the confession being made. The word confession means to speak the same thing. And in this case, it means to speak the same thing as God. And how do we know that the Spirit of truth is speaking the same thing as God? Well, the confession lines up with Scripture. The confession lines up with the confession of the Bible. Now let's examine another aspect of verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ. Now, the grammar of the text allows us to translate the text in this fashion. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ, and that Christ has come in the flesh. That's the burden of the text. Every spirit that confesses Jesus, the Christ, has come in the flesh, is from God. In other words, the confession is twofold. Referring to verse 3 here, look at what verse 3 says. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus. Notice that verse 3 does not say every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ. The question is, in verse 3, how do you confess Jesus? Well, you confess him as the Christ who has come in the flesh. See, there's a twofold confession here. And so in verse 2, John says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus as the Christ and as the one who has come in the flesh. The Apostle Peter in Acts 2:36 says this, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Very interesting construction and very significant construction. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And of course the word Christ means anointed one and refers to Jesus, the man Jesus, being the Messiah, being the promised prophet, the prophet promised through Moses. And not only so, by the resurrection, Jesus is shown to be that promised prophet, but he's also shown to be Lord of all. Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and that confession means that Jesus is Jehovah. The Jewish confession was, the Lord, he is God. In other words, Yahweh, Jehovah, he is God. Now, both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul bring this confession into the New Testament, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord, in other words, if you confess that Jesus is the divine being who came in the flesh, that he is God who became man. And this is what John is speaking about in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus, the Christ, has come in the flesh. In other words, that the Christ, the Son of God, has become flesh. The second person of the Trinity has entered into the world and become man. The confession here really is that Jesus is the God-man. How do you confess Jesus? You confess him to be the God-man. He is fully God and he is fully man. This is the confession that John is after. And the false prophets do not make this confession. Somehow, they alter one side of the equation, that Jesus is somehow not really man, that he only appeared to become man, or that Jesus is not God, you see. But the full confession is that he is the God-man. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. In other words, everyone who does not make this confession that Jesus Christ is the God-man is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit in opposition to Christ. Christ is the God-man. Antichrist says no. Somehow he is not the God-man. Verse 3 again. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and now is already in the world. Yes, there were those and there are those who do not confess Jesus to be the God-man. And when the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and knock on your door and talk to you about Jesus, you want to challenge them with regard to this proposition. Do you believe that Jesus is the divine being, that he is the God-man? Those who do not confess that Jesus is the God-man are from the world. They are animated by the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 4, you are from God. You see, here's the word of assurance that John gives to people like us, to people like you and me. You are from God. You are born of God. Now, how do you know that you're born of God? You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, how have you overcome those who are in opposition to Christ? You have taken a stand on the gospel truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man who came into the world to die on the cross to pay the penalty due to people like you for your sins. You maintain the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are not swayed by those who come in like a flood from the world. You overcome them by taking your stand and maintaining your stand and maintaining your confession. This is what 1 John 4:4 says. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. It's not that you have beaten them down. It's not necessarily that you have won the argument and won the day and proven to them that Jesus is the Christ, the God-man. No, they don't accept the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the God-man. But you maintain your position, and by maintaining your position and maintaining your integrity, you overcome their opposition to the truth. You see, if you are born again, you are born again of the Spirit of God, and God has changed your heart, irrevocably changed your heart. And you are bound for heaven. God has put you on a trajectory toward heaven, and you have eternal life. And eternal life in your heart is not going to be terminated at some point. You are bound for heaven. And because this is the fact, when you take your stand against the anti-Christian spirit, you overcome that anti-Christian spirit. Verse 4 again, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." The power of the Spirit of God operative in your heart is greater than the power of the spirit of Antichrist. "They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them." Oh, they say, it's foolishness to believe in the incarnation, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and that he is the God-man, and was resurrected from the dead. All of that's foolishness. And of course, the world buys into that anti-Christian spirit. And this is what verse 5 says, "For they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them." Those who are part of the more liberal wing of the church and are opposed to the inerrancy of the Bible and the incarnation and the resurrection are from the world. This is what John is saying. A very startling statement. Verse 6, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Again, John gives us this affirmation. We are from God. What a tremendous truth this is. How do we know that we are from God? Well, it's not only by the confession that we make, but it's by the fact that we make this confession before men, and we are received by others. You see, Jesus says that it's important for us to confess him before men. And he says, if we do not confess him before men, he will not confess us before his Father in heaven. Well, how do you make your confession of Christ before men? Well, the general way in which you make your confession of Christ before men is you stand up before a congregation in the church, and you confess the fact that you do believe in the Bible as the inerrant Word of God, and that you do believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the God-man, and you trust him as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins. You see, it's by way of a credible profession of faith that the visible church receives you into its membership. Men and women are not able to look into your heart and to determine infallibly whether or not you are born again. See? It's not their prerogative to look into your heart. Only God can look into your heart. But in your heart, if you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you see, you're saved. This is what the Bible says. And the visible church hears that confession, and on the basis of that confession, receives you into its membership. It's not the new birth that is the criteria for membership in the church. No. People can't look into your heart to see infallibly whether you're born again. It's your confession of faith. Look at verse 6 again. "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You see, I'm making application now of the truth of God here in this text by way of the public profession of faith. And I think this is a quite important application of the truth of verse 6. "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us." The true preaching of the Word of God is heard by the members of the visible church and embraced by the members of the visible church. Others reject the true preaching of the Word of God. the true confession of Jesus Christ is heard by the members of the visible Church of Christ. And the confession of the Christ, the true confession of Christ, is not heard by those who are of the world. They reject this confession. And so in the end, this is how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and how you know whether or not you are born again. Here is the main lesson of the text again. If you confess that Jesus is the Christ who came in the flesh, and you are received by other believers, they hear your confession and receive you into their fellowship. So here's the lesson, the application. But you're rejected by the world, and this would be plain, then you know you are born of God. This is an indication of the fact that you are genuinely born of God. You make this confession that Jesus Christ is the God-man, and you are received by other believers. And this is an evidence of the fact that you are indeed born of God. And of course, this is part of the work that John is engaged in fostering assurance of salvation. Thanks for listening.